a weekly spotlight on the Minnesota music scene. I'm your host, Malachi Coons. Halloween is here, and we are celebrating with songs about ghosts, devils, fear, graveyards, bones, and other spooky things from artists like Bob Dylan, Sunny Night and the Lakers, Dessa, Low, the Soviets, Black Widows, and many more. A Halloween party here on Minnesota Mixtape, made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and produced at KAXE, an independent and people-powered community radio station broadcasting from the north bank of the Mississippi River. We'll start our spooky topics off with the devil, specifically the devil in Miss Becky Capel.
Bus the soft cotton beds on the line hanging dry. Windows wide open, African trees bent over backwards from a hurricane breeze. Not a word of goodbye, not even a note. She gone with a man in a long black coat. Somebody seen him hanging around at the old dance hall on the outskirts of town. He looked into her eyes when she stopped him to ask if he wanted to dance. He had a face like a mask. Somebody said from the Bible he'd quote, there was dust on the man in the long black coat. Preacher was a talking, there's a sermon he gave. He said every man's conscience is vile and depraved. You cannot depend on it to be your guide when it's you who must keep it satisfied. It ain't easy to swallow, it sticks in the throat to give her heart to the man in a long black coat. There are no mistakes in life, some people say, and it's true sometimes, you can see it that way. But people don't live or die, people just float. She went with the man in a long black coat. There's smoke on the water, it's up in there since June. Tree trunks uprooted beneath the high crescent moon. Feel the pulse and vibration and the rumbling fuss. Somebody is out there beating on a dead horse. She never said nothing, there was nothing she wrote. She gone with a man in a long black coat.
There are a few options for Dylan tunes to fit into a Halloween show. I decided to go with The Man in the Long Black Coat from his 1983 Oh Mercy album. A chilling story is very similar to an old Scottish folk ballad that has many names, my favorite on this occasion being The Demon Lover. I'm Malachi Coons, and this is a Halloween edition of Minnesota Mixtape. Here's Ghost on the Porch from Humbird.
He rides this way with wicked speed. Your breath he means to take. In and out, my lungs billow strong and proud. Yet another man who's so intense to sink me in the ground. So go, 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 said the woman from the porch, as I turned upon my heel to meet the life I'm running towards. So go, 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 I sing it like a prayer. My legs fly like feathered wings to far away, I don't know where.
Been so long and it's been
One for the Skeletons here on our spooky Minnesota mixtape. Rattle My Bones from the Suburbs and their 1984 Love is the Law album. Before that, Johnny V with 6 Feet Under. When we return, Ross Thorne updates one of his songs specifically for Halloween.
KEXE was first on the air in 1976. Recently, a couple of the founders, Rich and Susie McClear, stopped by to talk about why KEXE was needed then.
A lot of people were up here thinking they were doing their own thing. And when the radio station came on the air, they found a neighbor was doing the same thing, or somebody across town. And it magically became a, there are a lot of us up here that have the same thoughts, the same activities.
Neighbors talking to neighbors. We help them get in contact with each other and talk to each other about common problems.
KEXE is still needed now. We're connected through green cheese trivia, through great music and events. We're in crisis mode. We have had all of our funding cut from the federal government. Please help us out. You can text the word donate to 218-326-1234. I'm Heidi Holton. Thank you so much for your support.
Turn your radio on.
Listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE KBXE.
Anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know who listen to this, Green Cheese and all the other programming on the stations, we really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it. So it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to everybody out there. Radio is important when it's unique and it's interesting and it's local, and given your current funding situation, everybody out there should be doing something about that, no matter how little it is. If everybody did something, it makes a tremendous difference. Think about Saturday nights with no green cheese. That sounds terrible.
Awful. It would be so boring.
This is the queen, and I'm going to make an edict. All cheeses, get your checkbooks out and send in some money to our favorite station and show, and my check will be in the mail tomorrow.
Donate now at KAXE.org.
The Halloween theme continues here on KAXE KBXE. Thanks for listening today. We receive support from the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, dedicated to conserving the rich ecological landscape of Minnesota, offering memberships, educational camps, and habitat projects. More information available at mndeerhunters.com. Coming up at 4 o'clock, You Are on the River. Sarah is your host. And then we have a special green cheese coming up from 6 to 7. It's a kid's green cheese hosted by Mike Spry. And he's got a couple youngsters joining him. We've got Maya and Alex. And then at 7 o'clock, it's, of course, your normal dose of green cheese trivia. From 7 to 9, Brandon Chase is your host, followed by After Dark. This week, Diane Ott is bringing you some rock and soul for KAXE After Dark. Thanks for supporting People Powered Radio. Here's more from Minnesota Mixtape. Halloween weekend continues on Minnesota Mixtape here on People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. We've been celebrating our members all week long, and we are, again, just want to say thank you for supporting us and making People Powered Radio happen. We've got a special edition of Kids Green Cheese coming up at 6 o'clock today with Mike Spry and a couple helpers here. We've got Alex and Maya. That's coming up at 6 o'clock with regular green cheese to follow at 7. We receive support from the Timberlake Lodge and Hotel in Grand Rapids. On-site amenities include a restaurant with a full bar and the Grand Splash pool area with water slides and a hot tub. Further details are available at TimberlakeLodgeHotel.com. Coming up at 4, it is On the River with your host, Sarah Serra. Here is more from Minnesota Mixtape on this spooky Halloween weekend here on KAXE.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Heidi Holton. Coming up next, we've got Native Lights Podcast, where Native voices shine. That's followed by brand new from KEXE, the Season Watch Pod, connecting you with the delights of nature. This is 91.7 KEXE, Grand Rapids, and 90.5 KBXE, Bagley, Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, people-powered radio in northern Minnesota, with Translator K210 DR in Brainerd, 89.9. You can listen at KEXE.org or on your smart speaker. Thanks for keeping us going. Help us out with your donation. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. And thank you.
Bonjour, Anin. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Willard Mailbear Jr., a Lakota artist who is the CEO and owner of Unified Theory Collective, and he's also the executive chairman of Art Shelf. Both organizations are heavily geared towards infusing creativity and getting art supplies out to the community. Willard is an experienced painter and tattoo artist who found a way to combine all his passions, embracing arts and culture for wellness. We spoke with Willard in March of 2024. Enjoy.
I was able to be an art tutor in St. Cloud in prison, and there I kind of found the power of creativity and creative fellowship and just what I was able to not only give myself by being creative, but the energy that comes out of you when you're being creative.
Bonjour. Hello. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo.
And I'm your other host, Leah Lam. Miigwech for joining us. Native Lights is more than a radio show or a podcast. It's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. And every week we have captivating conversations with great guests from a bunch of different backgrounds. Musicians, artists, community leaders, doctors, healthcare advocates, educators, language warriors, and so on. We have a great mixture of passions. So we talk with them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around the big point of purpose in our lives. And I can't wait to continue amplifying Native voices today. Cole, what's up?
I'm feeling good, ready to rock. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. Hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Heck yeah. I know. So our guest today not only does a lot of good in the community, but he also is a tattoo artist. And we've got some tats, Leah.
Yeah. Wait, how many tattoos do you have?
I only have two.
Okay.
One of them is quite extensive.
What do you call the extensive tattoo?
It's my old man in the sea tattoo.
But is that, it's like a...
Half sleeve.
Sleeve. Oh, yeah. So it is pretty detailed and big.
It's nearly a half sleeve. I'd say it's like right before a half. So very
So a little bit of a literature shout out there.
Yeah, yeah. I like that it shows not only like the sea, but also interactions between a man and a sea creature. And then also the best part about I like it is the moon. So the astronomy side of it. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I also have a question mark that Dad got before going out to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And I've always liked it, looking at it. So I got a replica of that. It's a little bit bigger and darker. His is like pretty green. Mm-hmm. So mine's like, you know, kind of dark. Anyways, those are the two. We'll see if I get some more.
That's right.
How about you?
Yes, I have four. Two are Lynx paw prints, which is our doodame. And of course, I also have a literature reference of Gandalf the Grey. So a Gandalf rune on my left forearm and Gandalf contemplating walking towards the mountains on the right forearm. So interaction with the natural environment, literature reference. You know, I didn't try to copy you.
Not at all. Just copying me. Anyways, but yes, let's get to today's guest. Today we have Willard Mailbear Jr. He's a Lakota artist who lives in Minneapolis. Willard is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo, on the south side of the city, where he is also one of the tattoo artists. In addition to his tattoo work, he's the CEO and owner of United Theory Collective. as well as the executive chairman of ArtShelf. Both organizations are heavily geared towards, you know, bringing about creativity and getting art supplies out to the community. So we'll definitely want to hear about all those great things he's involved in and about his journey. So here he is, Buju Willard.
Hi.
Hello.
Howdy. There you are. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Cool. All right. So Buju Willard, could you please start by introducing yourself?
My name's Willard Joseph Mailbear Jr. I'm an enrolled member of the Standing Rock Lakota tribe, and I am a Hunkpapa Lakota. I'm 38 years old, and I currently live in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Awesome. How are you doing? How's the family doing?
Family is good. I feel like all things in life, it kind of has its cycles. And right now we're in a really good place and trying to be the best parent I can be while being the best person I can be. My time with my two-year-old, I'm like 100% dad, you know, like on the ground rolling around. Emails don't exist. Nothing else matters. And then it's like the moment I get in the car and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do tattoos today. You know, I kind of have to put on the jacket of, you know, the professional and kind of step away from being the family person until the phone rings. And then it's like, oh, yeah, dad mode all over again.
Yeah, it's fun being a parent. There's nothing like it, really. So, Willard, is there anything that you're excited about you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. Currently just getting ready to introduce my new nonprofit project to the community. Definitely been nervous and overwhelmed and excited. I'm just really excited to continue to serve the creative community and just, you know, play a part in, you know, the positive impacts of creativity as a source of wellness to people that need it the most. I've kind of started to identify that as one of my bigger purposes in life, you know, besides being a parent and a sober person. You know, 2024, it's just been really fulfilling to be able to spread the gospel of creativity in my community.
That is really cool. Yeah, I'm just looking at your website right now, artshelf.org, and seeing more about it. The organization has a mission to harness creativity as a vital source of wellness and resilience. That is so powerful. How you can embrace arts and culture to be well. But you have a good board that you can lean on?
Oh, yeah. So some of the fundamental of ArtShelf is essentially to operate like a food shelf, but for art supplies, thus the name ArtShelf. So one of our board members is Kylie Benson, and he's currently the director of operations for Loaves and Fishes in the Twin Cities. You know, they, I think last year, gave out like a couple million meals. You know, I'm definitely excited to have his experience in the food shelf. And we're going to do something similar like that in ArtShelf, where individuals can fill out an application like they would for food assistance, and they would be applying for creative assistance. And, you know, we'll have pre-designed creative packages that we can distribute with literature and resources on how to best use those creative materials as a source of wellness. And one of my other board members, Holly Henning, she's the executive chairperson for Women's Advocates of America, I believe. She has a lot to do with Indigenous culture also, and she served on a lot of nonprofit boards. I'm definitely excited to have her experience. And then our other board member is Colin Cash. He is one of the founders of an organization called Sober Squad up in Mille Lacs. He's currently working for a really cool program up there. I can't quite think the name of it, but
Anjibimadising.
Yeah. So, like, you know, that's our board, and I think, you know, definitely excited about it. We've all put a lot of good work into it. So
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Willard Mailbear Jr., a Lakota artist who is the CEO and owner of Unified Theory Collective and also the executive chairman of ArtShelf.
Do you, Willard, have an experience that inspired the organization?
Absolutely. 7 years ago, I was an active criminal in South Minneapolis and really had given up on myself. I ended up being incarcerated and choosing to not give up on myself. During my incarceration, I was able to be an art tutor in St. Cloud in prison. And there I kind of found the power of creativity and creative fellowship and just what I was able to not only give myself by being creative, but the energy that kind of comes out of you when you're being creative and how that can be absorbed by the people around you. Because even the community in prison, it doesn't matter what kind of mentality people are on. If they see art, they're in awe. You know, they're like, wow, that's special. And it inspires. It's cool to see that inspiration kind of spread and be like a common language amongst criminals in prison, you know, and being up in that art program as a tutor and being able to like mentor other artists, you know, all of that prison life stuff didn't matter. And we were able to really connect and grow as artists in a really cool space. I was released from incarceration 4 years ago and I continued my pursuit in the arts, and I was in college for graphic design, and I had been a professional tattoo artist before that, but I really wasn't sure if I was going to go back to the tattoo industry just out of concern for myself and just the lifestyle surrounding where I was with tattooing before. I really didn't want to reinvite a lot of negative energy back into my life. So I was trying to just focus on being a graphic designer, but my really good friend opened up a tattoo shop. I started tattooing there. And then I was asked by Colin Cash and a good friend of ours named Aubrey to sort of lead these sober creative events. And they asked me to guide a group through a painting. I found myself back into that like inspiration moment where I could just feel like, oh my gosh, this is magic, you know? And this just, especially in recovery, when you're living oftentimes in that like one day at a time aspect, any sort of tools that you can have to get you through that day are priceless. And I think creativity can help people in all forms of social crisis, whether it is like relapse triggers or anxiety or, you know, depression. I think that just picking up something as simple as a pencil and a piece of paper and just getting through that day, it makes it so much easier to escape your thoughts. I did a couple of those creative events and I really started to identify that this, not just tattooing, this sharing creativity is probably going to be my life's mission, you know? And I was able to identify that pretty quick. Yeah, I think that's where I first started to experience and have a calling towards doing something like ArtShelf and not just tattoo.
That's great. Thanks. And to step back even further, do you remember like your first drawing, your first painting, or the first artwork that you've completed? How did you get into that? Like, what did you first start out with?
So when I was like 6 years old, maybe a little younger than that, my mom always told me I was 6 years old, so I kind of go with that number. But we were at my grandma's house, and I was playing in their porch, and I saw this piece of artwork on the wall. It was like this like scribble design, and then each little shape that the scribble made, there was like different patterns and shapes inside of those shapes. And I remember being in that porch and seeing that and being like, that is amazing. Grandma, what is this? And they were like, oh, your mom made that. No way my mom made this. You know what I mean? And my mom came in there and she was like, yeah, I did that in an art class when I was in college. And I remember it just blowing my mind, right? And my mom was like, you know, let's sit down. I'll show you how to do it. And she gave me a pencil and we did like some, you know, big scribble lines and then filled in each little pocket with some cool stuff. And I remember that being like the moment when I was just sold. And I was like, holy cow, this is absolutely amazing. My mind was blown. And like, I remember doing 1,000 of those, but that first one that I shared with my mom was just intense, you know? And, yeah, that was, I can never forget that.
That's awesome. And you and your mom have shared some art experiences, right? Like she was one of the first people or the first person that you tattooed?
Absolutely. My introduction to the tattoo world was ridiculous. You know, this really cool artist in Northeast Minneapolis kind of gave me a shot at being a tattoo apprentice just based off my art. And I tattooed a grapefruit and he was like, that is good. And it was all like, do you think your mom would let you tattoo her? And because I had told him that, you know, the first person I was ever going to tattoo was going to be my mom. And I was surprised when like that night he was all like, do you think your mom would let you tattoo her? And I was like, yeah, probably. And I called her and she came through and was just like, you know, I guess whatever you want to do, I'll let you tattoo it. And I think I just drew it on with markers and it was so sketchy and not clean, but it was definitely my introduction to the tattoo world. And, you know, when I knew I was going to start tattooing, I knew I was going to tattoo my mom first. Cause like my mom was like my best friend ever. You know what I mean? And I remember her saying that she would let me tattoo her if I became a tattoo artist. And, you know, I was just blown away by that because my mom was not the type. My mom didn't drink. She didn't smoke. She watched soap operas and drank Diet Coke. The fact that she was willing to get a tattoo was just super cool. And it was on my mom's leg and it definitely hurt. But she was all about it.
Was it both of your first tattoos?
It was my mom's first tattoo and it was the first tattoo I ever did. And it was on the first day I ever even held a tattoo machine.
Wow.
So is there a overall philosophy behind the tattoos that you like to do or just paintings that you like to paint?
I definitely, this year especially, found myself drawn to doing indigenous floral work. I'm the type of tattoo artist, though, where I will generally tattoo whatever. As long as it's not like hate-based or doesn't come from like a negative place, I enjoy tattooing all things. Tattoos definitely carry a huge part of my heart and fill my cup a lot. I definitely do enjoy doing those. And I don't want to say more, but I could probably say more. You know what I mean? I definitely feel drawn to tattooing indigenous themed tattoos more, but it doesn't take away from the joy that I have of tattooing conventional tattoo designs. And I do love having range. I like not being painted into one tattoo style or another. I like color tattoos. I like the black and gray tattoos. I like fine line tattoos. And pretty much I just like making art. But indigenous culture and heritage for me is something fairly new. You know, the first 33 years of my life, I really wasn't raised around culture. And when I was around it, I was either drinking and partying. I knew enough that I shouldn't come around when I'm like that. You know, my dad was really into culture and community and stuff. And I know he struggled with alcohol addiction. And he carried a lot of shame with that. But, you know, he would sober up to go to ceremonies and, you know, would encourage me to sober up to go, but always stress that if I wasn't in a good way to not go. To be 6+ years sober now and be able to go to ceremony and be involved in culture, I think that's when, you know, the big fire inside of me started being lit, where I'm drawn now to doing more culture-related artwork and culture-related tattoos.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Can you tell us a bit about Iktomi Tattoo and kind of the vibe at that place?
It definitely has a vibe. Iktomi Tattoo was, you know, a business project that was kind of offered to me as an opportunity by some of my friends that own businesses and essentially gave me the opportunity to be elevated as a business owner and an entrepreneur. They encouraged me when I was working at my friend's shop to start doing my own billing and start an LLC and kind of start managing my income that way. That went well. And I remember when I got out of prison, they were like, hey, if you ever want to do a tattoo shop or something, let us know. We'll definitely, you know, help you with that. And then when the time came, they were like running.